into the NFL first look, each week's first look at all the NFL games. We talk Thursday, we talk Monday, and of course we hit on that Sunday slate, all presented to you by rosters.com. Make sure you go over there, check them out. If you haven't played over there, use the promo code Grinders, get you some nice benefits, all the behind the scenes stuff and the incentives, of course, to the site. So I am Beer, and joining me as always, they do each week, Chop and Brett Hartfield, better known as Killer B. What's going on, Chop? How's Thanksgiving? We talked pre-show, and you lit up like a little kid, so you clearly had a good Thanksgiving. Let's hear about it.
I mean, Thanksgiving, it is what it is. I enjoy the food. I enjoy the festivities. But, you know, by the time I get in that car from the in-laws or wherever I'm at, I'm like, whew, okay, it's over with. Good, you know, take a deep breath because it's a done deal. But, you know, that's done. Now we got Christmas right around the corner, New Year's, and hey, man, we're balls deep in the holiday season. I mean, you better enjoy it because it flies by quick, and it's a good time of year. I like it, man.
Absolutely, yeah. You say Christmas. I got 15 Amazon boxes showing up every day at my porch, so the wife's been busy. It's crazy. So, Brett, how was Thanksgiving? And we talked pre-show. You avoided Kings and Sixers. I know a lot of people in the chat upset about that one, but how was Thanksgiving, bud?
Yeah, I mean, a small heart attack there with NBA, but got off of all the, you know, for sure zeros. But as Chop says, you never know if you're going to get a zero out of the Spurs or, you know, what have you. But yeah, Thanksgiving was good. Coming into the holidays, I don't have any kids, so it's kind of just with all family back home in Wisconsin. So good times. And now ready to attack some week 13 already.
Jeez. Yeah, we're running out of weeks here, so enjoy it while you got a few weeks left to play. So we'll go through each game. We'll use roster salaries as our backbone here and kind of give you some value plays along the way. We'll mix in some FanDuel, some DraftKings prices. We'll go game by game here. So let's start with Thursday night. We got Dallas and Minnesota. Dallas obviously on a roll here, -3 going on the road. 44 is our total here. So Chop, you're the Dallas fan. Does the roll continue here? We've kind of seen a chink in the Vikings' armor here over the last month or so. So does Dallas go in there and same game plan? Is it more Ezekiel Elliott? Does the matchup scare you at all? And then anything on the Minnesota side?
Well, I think we kind of made it a point to emphasize before the show that, you know, let's not spend a whole lot of time on games that if we really don't feel it. If you're not going to play it in your lineup, no reason to really tout anybody here. So, bottom line is, yeah, Dallas wins this game. I think they win this game, but I will not have one single player from this game. This is the quintessential fade Thursday night game. This is just a really bad offensive game, in my opinion.
Brett, you with him? I agree with him. It's one of them slates I like to load up on these games because people will play them because they're on TV and it's the national game. So the ownership's probably double, I think, is a fair assessment. So are you more optimistic or are you with us here and kind of staying away from this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually having troubles with tight end this week, and especially over on rosters where you can get Kyle Rudolph in for 5.1. Dallas has not been good versus the tight end, but totally agree. Outside of that, I don't think I'm going to gamble on a Stephon Diggs or Ezekiel Elliott on a Thursday. So it'll be a total fade, but I don't mind Rudolph right now. Just not in love with the tight end spot this week.
Took us 12 weeks, boys, but we're moving right along here. Moving on to a game that we'll spend a lot more time on here. Chiefs and Falcons. Falcons just a 3.5 favorite. 49 is our total here, Brett, and lots of plays. I love this game. I got a couple guys on each side, but I'm going to give the floor to you and who's standing out to you in this one.
Yeah, a lot's going to depend on if Macklin's in or not, but either way, Tyreek Hill's earned his spot in the Kansas City offense here. And then Travis Kelce, talking about tight ends, love Travis Kelce. He's been putting up 100-yard games, three of his last five in for 100-yard games, so I don't mind that. And then, man, a lot of people aren't going to be paying up at wide receiver, but in tournaments – you're going to get some low ownership on Julio Jones, and he's my top wide receiver this week. Over on rosters, you're paying a pretty penny at 15.9, but having exposure to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones in tournaments, I'm going to love a lot of that. So, yeah, but that's probably all I'm going for on the Atlanta side.
I am with you big time on Julio Jones, my favorite wide receiver this week. I think people are going to flock to, you know, Browns and Beckhams after the seven that Julio put up last week, but Kansas City gives up more fantasy points to the receiver than anybody. And if you're going to say Marcus Peters, Kansas City doesn't adjust what they're doing. Atlanta gets very creative in moving Julio around. So matchup does not scare me at all. Chop, what do you got here? This is a Thanksgiving game for daily players. A lot of guys to give thanks for here.
Yeah. Like Brett said, if Macklin's out, then I don't see any way you can not be starting up Tyreek Hill. The way he looks, he's already vaulted to the number one wide receiver, not to mention the extra little gift you get in the special teams in case he takes one back. So he's the guy. Don't mind Spencer Ware either in this game. Not at all. And then Atlanta, I mean, the little nugget that I saw from Sunday Night Football was, Phillip Gaines gave up 6 receptions, 209 yards, and 2 touchdowns by himself in that game.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that's not very good.
Yeah, and, Atlanta is one of those teams that they'll get Julio in the good matchup. That's what they do. So if Kansas City doesn't adjust this week and put 2 guys on Julio – yeah, Julio is going to have one of those games like we saw earlier in the year against Carolina, I think it was, where he went for that unbelievable game-changing, weekend-changing performance. That'll happen again. So, and because of that, Matt Ryan is also one of my favorite GPP plays. If we expect Julio to have a big game, now he's got a couple extra weapons. People won't be on him because the price tag is too similar to other guys up there, and they want to get the Drew Brees at home. And that, hey, Matt Ryan's at home too here. So one of my favorite GPP quarterbacks. This is a really good offensive game for Atlanta.
Real quick, are we buying in on Taylor Gabriel, get this name right, 6,900 on rosters. He's had a couple big games here. He's kind of stepped in as that, the opposite of Julio. Are we buying this, Fred? Are you in on Taylor Gabriel?
Not as much as I would be on a Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill is there to stay, and we know Alex Smith doesn't like to throw deep balls so much. So I love how they use Tyreek Hill in this offense. I'm not the same way for Taylor Gabriel. In GPPs, you want to take a punt, sure, but he's going to be nowhere near my cash games.
Chop.
I'm running 10, maybe 15 if I'm feeling spunky, 15 lineups this weekend in big GPPs. I'll have zero Gabriel. If I die by it, then I die by it, but I don't trust him at all.
All right, there you go. And Tyreek Hill, just 8,400 on rosters. Looks like a real nice price. And buy low while you can. That price is going to go up. So let's go to one. Could get ugly in a hurry. Rams and Patriots. Obviously, New England, big favorites here. Rams, can we do anything? I like the prices on Kenny Britt in some places across the industry. Outside of that, are we going to continue to bang our heads on the wall with Gurley? We'll get to you here in a minute, Chop, but I know you're with me there. Brett, what are your thoughts here? How does New England dissect this team? Is it Brady? Is it Blunt? Is it both?
Yeah, it's a totally a void spot for me for the Rams. So I can't get the Rams right. Anytime I've ever rostered a Rams, I'm losing money. So stay away from them. And then the Patriots, a lot's going to hinge again on Gronk. I would expect Gronk to sit, which puts definitely Edelman back into play for cash games. Don't mind him even in tournament exposure. And then I feel like it's a totally Garrett Blunt day. We haven't seen him get in the end zone the last 2 games, but the Rams have been exposed via the run game lately. And, yeah, I really like LeGarrette Blunt. His carries aren't going anywhere. James White and Deion Lewis are kind of splitting. And Deion Lewis is still, chipping in 5 or 6 carries. But, I really like Blunt to score at least 1, if not 2, touchdowns this week.
I'm with you there. I like Blount. Good call on Edelman there. And Martellus Bennett, Chop, is he of any interest to you? Prices are fair in some spots. Some spots he's still expensive. But let's assume Gronk sits. Is Bennett in play or is it all Edelman for you?
The way Bennett's looked lately, I really think he's probably struggling with an injury a little bit more than we're led to believe. And the questionable tag, there's a lot to that. So I would probably avoid him because he's had even better spots than this without Gronk, with Gronk. He hasn't come through. So I probably wouldn't trust him in this game. For New England, it all hinges on Gronk. And here's what I say about this: it's called first look because we barely looked at it ourselves. I think it's only Wednesday, so we got to dig even more into it. But my initial thought is on this game: if Gronk plays, I'll be all in on LeGarrette Blount. Great blocking. I don't think they're going to take too many risks in a 14-point spread with running Gronk downfield and letting me get hit again. Gronk plays, he's a fantastic blocker. I'd be all in on Blunt. And I don't think it really matters too much if he plays or not, whether that affects Bennett or Edelman. They're still going to get their targets. And if he sits, then, I'll readjust and maybe put more Edelman in there. That's how that would go for me. And Brady's a little bit too high all over for me to take him. And on the flip side, I want to be there for the Gurley big game, but 2-touchdown underdog on the road. Couldn't even do it against the Saints. I don't know if I can go back there, but I do like what you're saying about Britt. He does look like the number one wide receiver by far, especially with Goff in there, who's really targeted him heavily. So, and New England's not exactly a strict defense. They will give up some passing yards. So I don't mind Britt and maybe some garbage time here.
Yeah, I mean, 86 on rosters, 5,000 on DraftKings, and you go over to FanDuel and he's right around 7K. So nice value on him. And they're going to be playing from behind. They're going to have to throw some more. So should be a blowout here, but I think Britt can make it up in garbage time. And I like the call on Blount. As far as Gronk, saw a report he missed some children's event because his back was hurting. So I don't think he plays, or he just doesn't like kids, one or the other. So we'll see.
That was spring break, man. That's his children's event.
Hey, I'd party with that dude. I'll tell you that. He knows how to get down. So, all right, let's move on to one. Another one looks kind of ugly here. Philly and Cincinnati, just a 42-point total here. Philly a 1-point road favorite. We saw Cincinnati, look kind of dead without A.J. Green and Gio Bernard in the lineup. Philly took a rough one on the chin there at home to our Packers, Brett. So, do they bounce back here, or is it Cincinnati that takes a stand? And one guy that stand out to me, I think Jeremy Hill's in a much better spot this week. Everybody wanted to play him last week. I think this is a better spot for him. So agree, disagree, or is this an avoid game for you?
Yeah, this is I'm not going to have much exposure here. Like you said, Jeremy Hill's interesting to me. He got a lot of work catching the ball out of the backfield, which I really liked. That was one thing that I was kind of unsure of with Rex Burkhead kind of being there too. Outside of having maybe a little bit of Jeremy Hill exposure, I'm going to be fading all of Philly and then the Cincinnati pass game here. So,
yeah, 6 targets for Hill last week. I think he had 12 or 13 coming in before that on the whole season. So chop Jeremy Hill, yes or no, and any other plays in this game for you?
Jeremy Hill is a definite yes. I was surprised at how much work he got last week. And, for last week, he was a really cheap salary. They bumped him up a little bit this week, but he was still effective. And that was against, the worst run opposition you want to face as a running back, Baltimore. So, and he still produced. I like him this week. Wouldn't touch the passing game, though. They look really bad. On the Philly side, I think there's some interesting value to be there if Jordan Matthews is out this week. The one guy I just keep coming back to, 7.6K is on rosters, and he's really cheap all the way around the industry. Dorial Green-Beckham, surprising when you pull up his game log to see how much he's been targeted these last couple of weeks. They're really starting to work him the ball a little bit more. If they've got injuries in the receiving core this week, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he's by far the leading receiver on this team and a really nice sleeper this week. If not him, then maybe Zach Ertz. But I think Philly, there's something to Philly that you can – if Jordan Matthews sits, I think there's some value in their pass receiving.
I agree with that DGB call. Very cheap. We know he has upside, and athleticism is just a matter of him putting it all together. And the fall of Nelson Aguilar, healthy scratch last week. So I don't know what's up with them USC receivers, but I like that DGB call, Chop. Let's move on to Miami and Baltimore. Another low total here, 41. Definitely not a game that stands out for daily, but any nuggets here, Chop? Baltimore just a -3 home favorite here. Good defense in Baltimore. Surging team in Miami. Can we go anywhere in this game?
For me personally, I can't recommend anybody because I don't see myself playing anybody in this game except for the Baltimore defense, who I think is it's going to be a phenomenal play if we get word that 2 or even 3 of those offensive linemen are out again for Miami. Listen, they couldn't put it together against Frisco with those guys missing. It was a much bigger loss than what I think people assumed it would be. If they couldn't get it against Frisco, they're not going to go on the road and get it against Baltimore. So I think Baltimore's defense is in play. But as far as the offenses, I can't touch any of these guys.
Brett, you got anybody here? Because I'm struggling to find anybody. The running backs are splitting there now at Baltimore and Dixon and West. Steve Smith's a little bit banged up. So any plays here in this game that stand out?
Yeah, totally agree with Chop. Baltimore's defense is one of my top defenses across the board. They're mid-tier price across the industry. And just seeing what the Dolphins offensive line looked like last week, I mean, Ajayi was getting hit right at the line every single carry. So the Ravens have looked phenomenal. Their last 3 home games, they've put up double-digit FanDuel points. So, I mean, this is a spot where the Ravens should be just great against the Dolphins offense here. And then I know I don't normally bring up a kicker, but we have to give it up for Justin. Tucker is so has been phenomenal. In those 350-yard kicks in the first half, man. I mean, he just makes it look so easy. So, yeah, I mean, Tucker, if you're going to pay up for a kicker, Justin Tucker's the guy, because this Ravens offense doesn't look like they're scoring too many touchdowns.
We just lost 62 viewers when you said the word kicker.
And Boxer's great.
At rosters, you have to put a kicker in your lineup. So I thought I'd give them a little bit of publicity here.
No, absolutely. Tucker's phenomenal. I had a huge week last week, so definitely a good spot. Looks like a lot of field goals can be had in this one. So good call there. All right, Denver and Jacksonville, another low total, 40.5. Denver just a 4-point road favorite here. So, Brett, another game that, you know, maybe there's a few more plays here. Denver's D obviously stands out. We know to pick on Jacksonville by now, but this looks like another one that maybe we just stay away from.
Yep, and then Denver, if you're going to pay up at defense, I think Denver's where I'm going to be going. Jacksonville all year, mainly because of Blake Bortles' bad play, but been the type of offense that turns the ball over so much. I have liked Devontae Booker, though. He's gotten 25 touches the last 2 weeks, so he's kind of borderline cash game viable if you're going to go cheap at running back. Just with the amount of touches, like, his floor is very consistent. So I don't mind that. But, yeah, outside of that, that's all I have.
Chop, you agree with him on Booker? I mean, I like him. He said cash game zone. And I was like, it's, the touches are there. I agree with that. The matchup's fine, but production just hasn't been there. So where do you fall on Booker? Denver D, obviously, can hit on that if you want. And then is there anything else in this game?
Booker is the one guy on Denver that I would even think about playing this week. You know, what does draw me to him is those touches. They're steady and consistent. He just hasn't done much with it. But if there is a weakness on Jacksonville's defense, it's going to be the run game. But for the most part, Booker's it in almost in this entire game. Definitely not touching any Jacksonville offensive players. I will say I have identified Jacksonville as a pretty sneaky defense this week because Trevor Siemian, not only is he banged up, we don't even know if he's going to play. I just don't think he's that good. They found a real weak spot in Kansas City last week, so it kind of bolstered his numbers. But for the most part, he's just not a, he's not a good quarterback. Jacksonville actually has two good secondary cornerbacks, and they can stick with these guys. I don't think Siemian can get them the ball. I think Jacksonville could be a low-dollar, sneaky defense. But offense is going to be hard to come by in this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, this one looks ugly. So let's move on to another one. Looks fantasy fireworks potentially here, Chop. Detroit and New Orleans. 53 is the total. Saints minus 6. Big team total there for New Orleans at almost 30. Detroit's only down about 24. So are you more optimistic on the Lions than Vegas seems to be? And is it all systems go for the Saints? Obviously, Breeze. What do we do with Brandon Cooks? Because I think, you know, we hear it all the time. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. We already heard him complaining. You know, they want to get him involved. Is he the guy that has a big game this week, or is it all for naught?
So I guess we'll start off with – yeah, this is a great game, man. This is going to be a good one. We'll start off with Detroit. I definitely want to give me some Detroit players in here. I think Stafford's a good quarterback. I'm going to lean more probably on Marvin Jones than any other wide receiver for Detroit this week. Hopefully he goes a little under-owned in tournaments because I think he could have the biggest game. But I think, you know, you can also play Golden Tate. You can even stick some Eric Ebron, even after that Thanksgiving massacre he delivered. But, you know, I think they're all in play, even Theo Riddick. So I think that's fine. On the New Orleans side, yeah, Drew Brees obviously at home. I'm not telling you anything. Anybody listening doesn't know he's great at home. He's good on the road, but he's great at home. So, you know, if you can afford him, you fire him up. The running back, I don't like the way it split carries, but you can't deny the production of both of them. So pick and choose whichever one you want this week. I think they're fine. So the big thing is the receivers. How's it going to play out? That would be, you know, the thing that wins you GPPs if you can figure out which one he's going to really be able to, or even two of them. You probably deliver a good game to two of them, but you got about four choices to take from. My opinion this week, I'd rank them Thomas, Cooks, Fleener, and Snead. That's how I would rank them. I think Cooks, it all depends on how they're going to play. He's a squeaky wheel, but they're not going to force it to him if he's covered by Darius Slay and he's you know, locked down. They'll get it to the best matchup. That's what Drew Brees does. I think it's going to be Thomas and Cooks, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, and it depends on the site. You know, the sites are all different. When you look at the pricing, you look at rosters, Cooks is still by far the most expensive. You know, if you go to DraftKings and FanDuel, it's Thomas. And here on rosters, Thomas kind of falls in the middle. So, Brett, break this receiver situation down for us. The Lions, and we know about Drew Brees already. So, what are you doing with the Saints receivers and the Lions?
Yeah, I would have been worried for Cooks if what the Rams did last week would have worked overall, but it didn't. So, I mean, Brees still got his. The other wide receivers stepped up, made big plays. You know, I feel more than fine putting Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, back in my cash game. So they're both kind of bubble boys. Willie Snead's still number three out of there. I'm going to stay away from the fleeter, Josh Hill. Josh Hill ran more routes this past week, but I'm not going to buy into that. One thing that is interesting, though, is if Mark Ingram misses this week. Right now, he hasn't been practicing. It seems like he's hurt pretty good if he's not practicing by Wednesday. So that's something to look at. Hightower's looked phenomenal. He's been a top 12 running back three of the last 4 weeks. So I like that if Ingram can't go. And then Drew Brees, obviously my top quarterback on the board at home. And then looking at Detroit, I mean, I love Golden Tate getting a lot of targets here, short targets. And Marvin Jones should be cheap across the industry on rosters. Actually, Golden Tate's still cheaper than Jones for some reason. So, yeah, Golden Tate's still my guy there. And then Ebron. Ebron only had one target, no catches last week. So that's kind of another squeaky wheel. I really like Ebron to bounce back against the Saints. Saints have been giving up to the tight end. So Delvin Bro is back, which I expect him to be on Marvin Jones. So that should filter more targets to Tate and Ebron. So.
Yeah, the Saints have struggled with the smaller, quicker receivers, too. I mean, we saw Tavon get a touchdown last week. Ted Ginn had a touchdown a week before that. Patton had a good game against them. So, Golden Tate is my guy here, too. As far as Ebron, took a giant Thanksgiving dump on some good lineups for me. So, hopefully he can bounce back here. But this one should be a lot of fun. Anything else here, guys, before we move on?
No, I mean, this is going to be the most popular stack. So if you think you're going to be smart by stacking this game, well, so is everybody else. So try and find some of the low ownership guys. You know, I would assume Theo Riddick's going to have lower ownership there. So instead of buying the pass receivers here, maybe the running backs are the way to go.
Yeah, I'm loving Riddick. I mean, 8,100 on rosters is a great price. DraftKings, you get that PPR bonus as well. So he's definitely a favorite of mine. Chop, any closing thoughts on this one? We finally get a good game. So anything else here, we good to move on.
Yeah, I think that you brought up a good point. You know, when you're playing the different sites, you'll go to some sites and Cooks is the cheapest guy out of the three wide receivers that you really want to target. Play the salaries on each side, and that way you can vary up your teams, you know, organically like that. That's always a good way to go instead of forcing guys here and there. If you like the wide receivers, you can't really pick them apart. You play the cheapest ones on the site that you're playing and move to the next site and find the cheapest one, and then you differentiate yourself from your other lineups and spread your money out a little bit better, and I like doing that.
Right, and it gives you exposure to all of them. Like you said, I think two of the three are going to have big games, and it can be tough to guess which one. So that gets you to cover your bases where you're not spreading yourself too thin, but still giving yourself access to a team. The 30-point team total. You don't see that very often. So, all right, let's move on. Niners and Bears. Bears minus 143.5. The Matt Barkley era is upon us, Chop. So, look good. A lot of garbage time there. So, I know there's a lot of hype on some of the receivers there. So, are you going to crush that? Do you like this matchup at San Francisco? Or is it going to be all Jordan Howard for you? And then on the other side, obviously Kaepernick, we got to talk about him. The guy's been great over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. Is he a top five quarterback this week?
So for the Bears, yeah, Barkley looked a lot better than what I ever thought he was going to look. So I give him credit for that, but I can't be back on there. I can't jump on that now. It's just too much. I do actually think Jordan Howard could have a pretty decent game. He actually looked better than what I thought he was going to look. I thought they would crowd the box with eight guys in it. He wouldn't be able to do much, but he was actually fairly effective, and this is a really good matchup for him. So, but I think the big thing I took away from last week was that I didn't think Marquise Wilson had it in him to be a number one wide receiver. He's never really shown me anything at all, but he did. He got targeted heavily. Now, he dropped some passes, and that's not good, but it kind of doesn't matter when you're going to get double-digit targets from your quarterback. You're the only guy really who's – I mean, everybody dropped passes. So I think the big takeaway, Marquise Wilson, not Cam Meredith. Marquise Wilson is the number one wide receiver on this team now, so long as he stays healthy. So I'll be using that to my advantage moving forward. And then this is a good matchup for the Bears offense. Kaepernick, wow, man, you know, what can you say, man? The guy keeps putting up solid numbers. We kind of knew he would in this offense, but it took so long for him to get in there that we kind of let it fly under the radar. But the book is out on him now. He's a stud, man. So I would expect another nice little 25-point game out of him this week. That's what he does. He runs so effortlessly that the points pile up. The guy I'm really looking to here is Carlos Hyde, who back from injury now, looking good, getting his touches in the passing game around the goal line. So I don't want any of these wide receivers, but I think Carlos Hyde has a chance to be a nice little play this week, and nobody's going to take him.
Absolutely. So, Brett, Colin Kaepernick, 11-1 on roster. Seems like a really good price on him. Decent matchup here with the Bears. And then on the Bears side, Chop brought up Marcus Wilson, and I dug into him because I was thinking the same thing. But we saw a lot of passing attempts. I believe I saw three or four different receivers or pass catchers had 9-plus targets for the Bears. So Wilson was the one that produced. Does that continue? I'm still digging into him. Chop feels good about him. I value his opinion. Value yours as well. What do you think on Wilson and the rest of this game?
Yeah, you're right. It was four wide receivers or four receivers that had 9 targets or more. So plenty of drops all around. Was most impressed with Marquise Wilson. And if you want to take a narrative with the backups, Matt Barkley being a backup, him throwing the ball maybe to Marquise Wilson in practice more often, you know, there's always that narrative. But, you know, now that we're getting into December in Chicago, this is when weather really starts getting a little nuts in Chicago with wind. I don't know if I'm going to be going after Colin Kaepernick. He's looked great. He's been the last 4 weeks, he's been a top 10 quarterback. So, but, you know, outside of Jordan Howard, I don't know if I'm going to have too much exposure to any of the passing games here.
Yeah, weather's certainly something to keep an eye on there, so good call there. All right, let's move on, Brett. Green Bay at home, -7. Obviously looked great last week against Philly. Now they got Houston coming in, who we know the pitfalls of Houston, but it's a bad Houston offense against a Packers defense that, yes, looked better last week, but still pretty vulnerable in the passing game. So Will Fuller, Hopkins, these guys do anything for you? Lamar Miller, or is it all Green Bay for you?
Yeah, I think with this game, I mean, having some Will Fuller exposure in tournaments is a must. And then CJ Fedorowicz over on rosters is still at 4K, and I'm really comfortable with his floor. It seems like he's getting consistent targets and catches over there. So at 4K, which is the bare minimum on rosters, I don't mind that in a week where I do not like too many tight ends. And then with the Packers, it seems like it's Jordy and Davante Adams. And, you know, Davante Adams is slowly but surely becoming the best wide receiver in this offense. Jordy's still going to be the guy in the red zone. You know, he's still consistent. And, Rodgers and Jordy just still have that connection. But more and more I'm buying into Davante. And if I'm going to go with a wide receiver, it's going to be Adams here. But I respect this Texans defensive backfield too much to have too much exposure to Rodgers. So when it comes to quarterbacks, I'm probably going to go in other spots.
I'm more optimistic on Rodgers. So, Chop, let's see where you land here. Expensive on rosters, 14.5, but I was digging around on DraftKings, 6,700, I believe is his lowest price he's ever been on that site. So don't see why they're pricing him down. He's averaging 30 DraftKings points over the last 6 weeks. So Houston, yes, they have a good defense, but it's Rodgers at home, and we know what he's been doing. So are you feeling better about him than Brett is? Are you with me? Where else are you going in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I like Rodgers a lot. The price tag on rosters is high, but I think around other places you can play him. Arguably, he's right there in the top three this week. But there's some good – obviously, that's not saying a bad thing on him. There's really good quarterbacks this week. So I like him, but you just got to figure out, do you want to play him or Breeze? Opportunity cost is what you're going to do there. But as far as his wide receiver, first of all, the running game, no thanks. Can't mess with the running game for Green Bay anymore. Pass catchers, I think Brett hit on that. Adams really looks like the guy. He looks like it. And Jordy Nelson, they want him to be – Rodgers wants him to be the guy, but I just don't think he's got that physical ability like he did before the injury. So it's kind of Adams now. And Cobb is making some ground here too, making up some ground. He's catching a lot of passes here recently, so I don't mind him. On the flip side there, Green Bay might be another defense that I play in a GPP team or two because Houston looks pretty lethargic on offense these days. Quarterback is pretty terrible. I know this is supposed to be a good matchup for the passing game, but outside of Will Fuller, I don't know if I can and C.J. Fedorowicz is a nice – I found myself playing a lot of Fedorowicz in cash games last week as I sat down on Sunday and looking at his numbers and digging into him. He is probably the best pass catcher in this core right now, with Hopkins being like almost a non-factor because of Osweiler. But I think if you're going to take a chance on anybody this week, it's going to be Will Fuller. I think there is a connection between him and Brock, and it's just a matter of Fuller getting healthy. And when that week comes that he does feel good and he is healthy, he's going to blow up, and this could be that week.
All right, should be a fun one. Let's move on. Buffalo and Oakland, Raiders -3 at home. Obviously, the story here, Chop, Derek Carr, is he ready to go? Are we worried about that finger at all? And then Buffalo, a team that looks great in some spots, then they look awful. So we saw Carolina do a lot of damage to this Raiders defense. So you seeing a one-sided game here? Or are you with Vegas that it's going to be a lot closer than people may think?
I think this is going to be a close, good game. And the fingers do bother me on Derek Carr. You're not getting a super big discount on him. So I kind of want him to be 100% healthy, and I'm just not sure. You know, maybe they throw a splint on him or something. Maybe he just isn't quite as effective and it brings his game down. So because of that, I may just end up fading this whole passing game right here. So I'm not in love with Oakland. And on the flip side, I am in love with Tyrod Taylor, who, if we're looking at the salaries, he's cheaper than Carr. If we look on rosters, he is cheaper than Derek Carr. The running back situation right there for Buffalo, I was on McCoy last week because Gillis Lee was out. Gillis Lee's going to be back this week, so I'll probably fade McCoy. But the one guy who's really jumping off to me is Sammy Watkins, because he looked good, man. He caught that long pass last week, looked a little bit healthy. He's going to be even healthier this week. And I look at the Oakland defensive backs, and if he gets matched up with Sean Smith, Sean Smith's a big old boy. He likes those big physical receivers. Sammy Watkins could take him to school with his speed. So I think Sammy Watkins busts a long one this week.
And he might be low-owned. I squeezed him into a few lineups last week just to take a shot at him, and it paid off. I think people are still going to hesitate because, you know, he's not 100%. But who else are they going to throw to? You know, there's nobody else there. So it's McCoy, it's Tyrod, and it's Watkins. So, Brett, your take on this game. A lot going on here. Talk Derek Carr and the injury. Are you concerned there? And then Watkins, are you with us in the optimism there?
Yeah, definitely like Sammy Watkins. Over on rosters, he's still priced like he never got hurt, which is weird, at 11.5. But where you can get him for cheap, yeah, I love him. I think what really helps, you know, his presence back in this offense just really helps Tyrod Taylor. Now they have that deep shot, consistent deep shot. And Watkins is supposed to play 40 plays this upcoming week, so, or somewhere around 40 plays. So, yeah, I really like Tyrod Taylor. We'll have some exposure, probably Tyrod and Sammy Watkins GPPs on other sites. So, and then on the Oakland side of things, I expect Carr to be fine. I mean, he dislocated that finger, came back in, put a glove on, and he was more than fine. So I think with a week, his finger should be fine. But you never know how that's going to work out. But, yeah, it's just not – I'm not in love with any of these spots right now. I would probably give the edge to Cooper over Crabtree this week. But, yeah, I don't really like anything on the Oakland side of the ball here.
All right, let's move on. Washington to Arizona. Arizona just a 2.5-point favorite here. 49.5 is the total here. So, Brett, help me out on this one. This game looks like it should have a lot of plays in it. Can we trust Kirk Cousins on the road? Is Jordan Reed going to play? And if not, do we trust Vernon Davis? And we know David Johnson's a beast. We don't need to cover that. But who else in Arizona? Do we trust Carson Palmer here against this Washington defense?
Yeah, this will be pretty quick for me. I mean, outside of David Johnson, I'm not going to roster anybody. Larry Fitzgerald's at a point in his season where I don't think I want to roster him. Just a guy that's a little too old for me to roster him this late, last 5-6 games of the year. I normally don't try to take too many guys that, you know, are on the back end of their career. So, yeah, outside of David Johnson, it's a total fade.
Chop, same for you, or you got more plays here?
I don't have any plays for Washington on offense. I do like their defense in this game. Arizona's been really, really bad on offense. Carson Palmer specifically turning the ball over and taking sacks. These last 6 weeks, he's given up more points to opposing defenses than anybody else in the NFL. So I kind of like Washington's defense to have a nice game here. And for Arizona, the only one I would consider is David Johnson, but the price is so high everywhere that I don't think he'll end up on a single one of my teams this weekend.
Yeah, it's tough to fit him in. Roster's almost 16,000, so very expensive all across the industry. Like I said, it's a 50-point total. I'm with you guys. You know, I want to like the game, but it's not much standing out to me. So one, I'm going to dig in a little bit more. So we'll see. Tampa Bay traveling across the country to San Diego. Chargers minus 3.5. 47.5 is our total here, Chop. So Chargers keep it rolling. Buccaneers, one of them teams, look great in spots, look awful in spots. How do they look in this one?
This is a sneaky game right here that I don't think is getting a lot of attention. I look at San Diego, Phillip Rivers. That's a very good Houston pass defense last week. 3 touchdowns, like it wasn't nothing. The week before that, 3 touchdowns. Rivers always goes underappreciated and puts together good games. He's one of the better quarterbacks out there. So I think if you want to pair Rivers with one of his wide receivers in a tournament, now that's the problem is you're going to have to take a guess out of which one you want to take. With Tyrell a little bit banged up right now, I think you could pick between 4 or 5 guys, and that's the problem with trying to handcuff him with somebody in a tournament. And outside of that, Melvin Gordon looking great this week. Still getting the touches. Had a rough game last week, but that is going to happen every once in a while. I think Gordon, with the amount of touches he gets in games, he's going to be fine this week. I like him. Tampa Bay, this is a really nice spot for them against San Diego, who's been better on defense this year, but I'm not sold that they're that good. They've ran into some really good – they've had some really good matchups. So Winston, fine. Mike Evans, I don't see who's going to stop him, especially if the slot cornerback for San Diego who missed last week is out again, who's actually one of their better cornerbacks. That's going to leave them with one solid cornerback in the secondary. Evans moves around so much. Don't think they're going to be able to shadow him all the way. Evans could be in for a big week. And with Julio up there, Antonio up there, Evans might be the one guy who goes under-owned, and I think he's in a good spot. And don't sleep on Doug Martin. Starting to get a lot of touches here these last couple weeks.
So Chop's loving this one, Brett. So you feeling the same. I saw you nod along. There's a lot of good plays here. And Mike Evans, he can do it against Richard Sherman. You know, he can do it against anybody. So are you with him here on this game being maybe a shootout?
Yeah, I'm going to want to see, obviously, Tyrell Williams' health first before I have any exposure to Phillip Rivers or even Tyrell. But if he's out, I mean, Dontrell Inman's been starting on rosters. He's only 7,500. He's getting the snaps. Travis Benjamin's kind of been more of the wide receiver 3 in this offense of late. So, yeah, he becomes almost a must play on certain sites if Tyrell doesn't go. And then, on Tampa Bay's side, Mike Evans is matchup proof, so you can roll him out there. He looked great against Seattle, so yeah. And I believe Brandon Flowers was the one that was out, so yeah. Just check his status. If he's in, right now, I mean, Mike Evans is this offense, but good spot for Doug Martin and Melvin Gordon here. I like both running backs this week, but I'll probably have more exposure to Melvin Gordon at home. You just got to love all the touches that he gets in the red zone. So,
and you can get nice discounts on him on some sites. He's still, 13-4 on roster seems expensive, but, 15-9 for David Johnson or 13-4 for Gordon. Yes, Johnson's the better player, but nice discount there on Gordon. So let's move on. Giants and Steelers, Pittsburgh minus 6 at home, 48.5 here, Brett. And I'm loving Ben Roethlisberger. Averaging 336 yards a game at home, almost 4 touchdown passes a game at home. And while the Giants look great in their DVP against quarterbacks, if you look at the last 7 or 8 quarterbacks they played, it's a laundry list of dudes that aren't very good, to be nice here. So any worries about Ben? Because to me, he's one of the top guys on the slate.
Yeah, I love Ben. And I think just with the game of the Detroit at New Orleans game, I think you're going to get Roethlisberger for really low ownership. Roethlisberger at home, it's just one of those things where I want to put him in as many lineups as possible. And I'm kind of on the passing game more than the running game. I know Chop said he didn't like David Johnson that much this week, but I'm on team David Johnson over Le'Veon Bell this week. So I'm going to have more exposure to this passing game, and I'm going to get it mainly through Roethlisberger, but I love pairing up Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger in GPPs. You're going to get that for really low ownership this week just because most people are going to be paying up at 2 running backs. And I mean, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, they have super high ceilings. So that's the way to be contrarian this week. And then on the Giants side of things, this is definitely a stackable game. If you're going to have some exposure, it's going to be tough because Odell and Antonio Brown are two of the most expensive wide receivers. But I don't mind coming back with Odell and then just going with two cheap running backs this week.
Yeah, if you're going to have the Pittsburgh stack, you almost have to have some Odell, some Shepard. So, Chop, can you make that work this week? Are you as high as Ben as we are in this Pittsburgh offense? And then hit on Le'Veon Bell. Would you rather have him than David Johnson this week?
Whew, Big Ben at home, and here's what this is the one. Like, this is the kind of spot though where you look back at the end of the week and you look at the GPP winners and they stacked Ben with Le'Veon and Antonio Brown, or they took three or four Steelers. Because when they're at home, they're just that much of a juggernaut on offense. You can do that and win GPPs with them. So that's one way to go about it is just stack them. Stack as many as you can in there. It's not a bad situation for any of them. As much as we want to split hairs with Bell and David Johnson, I mean, there's no telling which one of those guys could blow up for a 40-point game. Either one of them has the potential. And, you know, that's what you're doing. You're splitting hairs to try to talk yourself off of a guy because you can't take everybody. We could look back and Bell could have a huge game. So could Brown. These guys are 40-point candidates this week. And Big Ben is obviously, in my eyes, just pure numbers-wise, he's second best behind Breeze this week, pure number. So, and Odell's in a really good spot here, too, on the flip side. But he's about the only one on the New York Giants offense I'm looking at. Not that the other pieces aren't good, but nothing's really standing out to me as something I want to play. So Odell's about it. But on the other side, I mean, on Pittsburgh, like I said, I just think that you could take whatever you want from this game, those main factors, and I think that they're all going to produce. I can't sit here and tell you that Bell's going to outdo Brown or Brown outdo Bell, but I think they all get their numbers because they usually do. It's really weird with Pittsburgh, but everybody gets their numbers.
It's just them two guys, really. So that's Everything's funneled through them. So I love the stack. Just keep an eye on the weather according to our lineups page here. Looks like maybe some rain there. So it's Wednesday. Not going to predict that. So just something to keep in the back of your head to keep an eye on. All right, two games left, 5 minutes. So we're cruising, boys. I'm proud of us here this week. Carolina going to Seattle. Seattle -7 here at home. 44.5 is the total here, Chop. So does Seattle get back on track? Because Russell Wilson, to me, was a slam dunk last week that banged off the rim like Paul Pierce last night. So do they get back on track at home on Carolina? Can they do anything in this game? Look good at Oakland. This is a different animal going to Seattle.
I mean, you open up Twitter and you see those GIFs of or GIFs, whatever they're called, those guys taking the computer and slamming it into the dumpster or whatever. That's how I felt watching those afternoon games last Sunday, man, after I faded all those dead spots in the morning. Then you watch Rawls and Wilson and Doug Baldwin burn your team to the ground. But that was a really bad game, and I am worried about they're at home, so that benefits them a lot. But I am worried about their offensive line. Don't know if they can keep Carolina out. And once again, I'm going to go back to this theme I've had this whole thing, cheap defenses or under-the-radar defenses who have potential, that's Carolina. Seattle's offensive line is struggling more than any offensive line in football right now. I do think Wilson can still have a good game because he can get out of the pocket and run and make things happen, but they're going to put a lot of pressure on him. I'm not going to be on Rawls this week because I don't know if they can block for him any at all. And Baldwin, if he has time to get him the ball, that would be fine. But more than likely, I won't have much Doug Baldwin because I don't believe the offensive line is going to be able to keep Carolina out of there. And on the flip side, I have to wait and see if these injuries are still there for Seattle's defense because just like we saw last week, they can be taken advantage of if they're injured like they were. I think some guys are coming back healthy, which would get me off of the Cam Newton, Greg Olsen. I actually do like Greg Olsen, though, quite a bit regardless. But any receivers or running backs in this game would kind of hinge on the health of Seattle's defense.
Brett, hopefully you avoided Russell Wilson last week. And if not, can you go back to the well this week? Whether you had him or not, I think maybe the ownership's going to probably be minimal after last week. So is it a favorable spot, or you share the same concerns as Chop?
Yeah, on that front, I had way too much exposure to Russell.
You're not alone, man. Cash games, yep, this guy, Russell Wilson.
So. I mean, I made really good money for the Thanksgiving slates and then just burned it all in the Sunday slates. So, yeah, really, really fun. But, yeah, I, uh, I really like this spot for Seattle. I know the offensive line is brutal. I watched that game, and I couldn't believe how bad that offensive line was. It seemed like Russell Wilson would have his three-step, five-step drop, and then he instantly had to start running. So that is definitely concerning. But if I do pair him up with anybody, it'll be Jimmy Graham. You're going to get that for low ownership just for how bad they played last week. But and then on Carolina, man, they've not looked good this whole year. So it's tough to invest in a Kelvin Benjamin who hasn't been anything since, what, week two. Cam just doesn't look right. This offense is just a total stay away. But Jimmy Graham's my favorite play in this game. He's only 8.8 at rosters. Would be one of my favorite tight ends if it really hinges on if Jeremy Maclin plays. Then I'd probably go towards Jimmy Graham. But if Macklin's out, I really like Kelce a little bit more.
All right, Brett, close us out here. We got Colts and Jets, Indy -2 on the road, 49s are total here. Monday night hammer. So quick thoughts here. We got about a minute left. So thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, this is a game that if you're playing the slate, could be really interesting. I mean, Matt Forte is definitely cash game viable. I feel like the Jets are going to ride him quite a bit. And then Brandon Marshall, he really came alive last week. Like the spot for him. Colts can't cover anybody. Really like the spot for both Forte and Marshall. And then on the Colts side of things, just as long as Andrew Luck's back full health, which seems like he's already practicing. I know he's still in concussion protocol. But as long as he's good to go, and it looks like Vegas thinks he's good to go, then both T.Y. Hilton and Moncrief are both in play. And I don't mind even stacking, doing a full stack here. So with one of the wide receivers in line.
All right, Chop, you said you're avoiding Thursday night. Does that mean you're avoiding this game as well? If you're avoiding that, or you're plugging some guys in here if you're playing that Thursday, Monday slate?
Oh, man, if Luck is healthy, I want all the T.Y. Hilton. I mean, every single drop of it. And on the flip side, Marshall, liking his price tag all around the industry, had that bye week before last week, and he looked a lot better last week. So maybe he's got a little fresher legs. I don't think anybody's going to be able to guard him. So I like those two receivers as two of my favorite plays this whole weekend, really.
All right, we're out of time. So I'm going to give you guys the floor. You know, it's coming, Chop. We didn't get one hot take this whole time from Chop. What's up with that? So any hot takes, any final thoughts here? 30 seconds each. We'll wrap it up. Chop, what do you got?
It looks like a good weekend. I think I'm going to go out. My hot take, give me Washington's defense as the top scoring defense this week.
All right. That I felt the heat on that one, Chop. You're bringing it there. So, Brett, final thoughts and the hot takes.
The dog liked it.
The dog liked it, man.
Fire him up.
I'm putting Washington right here, right at the top of the dome, because the dog never lies. So, Brett, what do you got?
I'll go with Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown wins the millionaire maker this week. I don't feel like a lot of people will be on that. You'll get that for really low ownership. So
100% of my millionaire maker lineups, Ben Brown, Washington D. So that'll do it, guys, for week 13. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, check out the sponsor, rosters.com. We really appreciate them sponsoring the show. For Chop, for Brett, I am Beer, and we'll see you next week, guys.